La noticia innovadora es bien interesante. Tenemos a una de las estrellas de la NBA. NBA. Se llama Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter. ¿Y por qué lo hemos llamado? No precisamente para hablar de la NBA, sino por su activismo político. Además de ser una estrella de los Boston Celtics, está muy activo en la causa política de su país, pero no precisamente a favor del presidente Erdogan. ¿Cuál es la principal razón que lo lleva a él a desconcentrarse de la NBA para también sacar tiempo al activismo político?
Good morning, Enes. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. And we want to begin this interview by asking you, I mean, you're an NBA player, you play with Boston Celtics. What was it that caught your attention that made you distract yourself from your, responsibilities as an athlete or take some of your free time to focus on international politics?
You know, I have a platform. And I wanted to use this platform to be a voice of all those innocent people out there who don't have a voice. And, you know, I talk about more often about what's going on, all the injustices and human rights violations are happening in my home country, Turkey. And I remember doing a basketball camp, and one of the parents asked me that, how can you call yourself a human rights activist when there's human rights violations that are happening all over the world? And that was the first time, you know, I turned around to parents and said, I promise you, I'm going to do my research and get back to you. And after I done my research, I was ashamed of myself because I was blindly talking about Turkey for 10 years, but there was human rights violations that happened all over the world. So that was the first time I started to study about China and all the human rights violations over there happening.
Nos dice que él tiene una plataforma y quiere usar su voz para defender a esas personas inocentes que no tienen una voz, que no son escuchadas. Él hablaba de las injusticias de donde es él, de Turquía, hablaba de las violaciones de derechos humanos que se veían ahí, pero dice que estaba cegado porque duró 10 años hablando solo de Turquía cuando hay violaciones de los derechos humanos en todo el mundo. Fue ahí como cuando empezó a investigar y llegó a China y empezó a hablar de todas las violaciones a los derechos humanos que ocurren en ese país.
Enes, ¿los juegos de la NBA de los Boston Celtics hoy se pueden ver en la China?
Enes, do the games of the Boston Celtics in the NBA, can those be watched in China today?
No, actually, I remember first time talking about the Tibet issue, and my agent, my manager actually texted me in a halftime of the first game of the season against New York Knicks. He said, just because of you talk about all the issues that are happening in China, they banned every Celtics game over there in China, and I just couldn't believe it. But that shows one more time how a dictatorship are scared of strong voices. So it's a shame on the government that they just banned all of our games over there in China.
No se pueden ver los partidos de los Celtics en China. Nos dice que cuando estaba haciendo activismo, hablando de la situación con el Tíbet, el agente, su manager, lo llamaron y le dijeron en medio de un partido que por hablar de esa situación ya no se podían ver los partidos de los Celtics en China. Vetaron todos los partidos. Él cuando escuchó eso no lo podía creer, pero dice que eso es un reflejo y muestra cómo una dictadura le teme a una voz fuerte, una plataforma fuerte.
Él ha hablado sobre la censura que le hizo la NBA a los tenis que usó en los que pedía la libertad del Tíbet. Hemos visto a otros deportistas muy importantes como Colin Kaepernick, como LeBron James, manifestando abiertamente posiciones políticas que a veces son incómodas para el establecimiento. ¿Qué tan difícil es hacer política jugando para la liga de básquet más importante del mundo como lo es la NBA?
And as you have mentioned what happened when you tried to wear those sneakers that spoke about the freedom of Tibet, and you know that they didn't want you to wear it. We have seen other players try to also raise their voice in terms of stuff like this. And the question would be, how hard is it to speak publicly about this type of things being a player in the NBA?
I mean, it's not easy, obviously, especially when you're talking against the Chinese government. And they're going to do everything they can to silence you, because China uses money to buy silence. And that's why you see there are so many, you know, not just athletes, but, you know, singers, actors, people who have platform are scared to speak about against any of the issues that happen in China because, you know, China threatens them. And they are, they're very sad because they care about their money, they care about their, you know, business and, you know, endorsement deals more than they care about human rights and morals and principles. So it's a shame that you see athletes like, you know, like LeBron James or John Cena are scared to say a word or they're apologizing from the Chinese government just because of they don't want to lose money and they don't want to lose endorsement deals. So I feel like we should definitely put, you know, our principles, our morals and human rights over endorsement deals and money.
Nos dice que no es fácil hacer activismo cuando es en contra del gobierno chino porque ellos van a hacer todo lo posible para silenciar a esas personas que hablen en contra de ellos. Usan el dinero para comprar el silencio y por eso se ven cantantes, actores, deportistas con miedo a hablar de los problemas que hay en China porque los asusta. Y es triste porque esas personalidades les interesa más el dinero, el negocio, los patrocinios que los derechos humanos, que los principios. Y es una lástima ver a atletas como LeBron James, por ejemplo, que no dicen nada que posteriormente piden disculpas al gobierno chino para no perder esos patrocinios, ese apoyo económico, negocios, y para él por encima debe estar los principios, la moral y pues los derechos humanos.
Otra de las preguntas que se pueden hacerle a nuestro invitado, a Canter, es su lucha contra determinadas empresas textiles como Nike o Adidas. ¿Por qué esa lucha contra ellas? ¿Por qué esas críticas?
Another question we wonder is in terms of the critics you have made to wardrobe brands like Nike and Adidas. Specifically, why are you criticizing the job made by these companies?
Well, first of all, Nike is the biggest hypocrite company out there and is the biggest sponsor for NBA. And because you see when there's all this, you know, Nike stands with Black Lives Matter in America. Nike stands with, you know, Stop Asian Hate. Nike stands with Latino community. But when it comes to China, the abuse are happening in China, they stay silent because they know the money that they're going to make over there in China. And you cannot also, you look at all the, you know, sweatshops, all the slave labor camps, you know, it's just so disgusting to me how a company like Nike can call themselves a social justice or organization or company, but they're just using pretty much slaves to make their shoes. So that's why if you are a Nike athlete, I have no respect for you. And I think that's definitely modern-day slavery. And that's why I just couldn't stay silent about the issues that Nike is doing.
Well, Enes, thank you so much for your time in W Radio, and thank you for your activism. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye bye. Nos dice que Nike es la empresa más hipócrita que patrocina la NBA porque Nike dice que apoya el movimiento de Black Lives Matter, dice que apoya ese movimiento en contra del odio a los asiáticos y luego apoya a los latinos y luego se silencia frente a China porque saben todo el dinero que hacen en China. Entonces le da asco esas campañas que hace Nike, que se vende como una compañía, una empresa de responsabilidad social, y están usando realmente esclavos para hacer sus zapatos. Por eso no tiene respeto hacia los atletas que usan Nike y por eso no puede dejar de alzar su voz en contra de esta compañía.